Do you remember Io, the beautiful daughter of the river god Inachus, and one of the mortal lovers of Zeus, who had been transformed into a white cow and chased and tormented by Hera incessantly? It was only when she reached Egypt that she eventually found rest and freedom from the persecutions of her enemy. On the banks of the Nile, she resumed her original human form and gave birth to a son named Epiphus, who afterwards became king of Egypt and built the famous city of Memphis. In fact, the royal lines of Egypt and Phoenicia, of Argos, Thebes, and Crete all looked back to Epiphus as their ancestor. Epiphus had two great-grandsons, Danaus and Aegyptus. The former fathered 50 daughters, while the latter 50 sons. Aegyptus expected his sons to marry their cousins, but Danaus refused. He then took himself and his daughters off to live in exile in Argos. To press their claim, Aegyptus and his sons then led an army following them to Greece. Despite the stout resistance of the Argolians, the Egyptians got the upper hand and laid a close siege to the capital, Argos. When the city was about to fall, the 50 maidens, all in their wedding robes, rode out and offered to marry the princes on condition that they withdraw forthwith. The princes, who loved their cousins very much, immediately lifted the siege and returned to their camps. The mass wedding was to be held that night. Danaus instructed each of his daughters to take a sword and kill the groom on the very night before her virginity could be taken. The vile deed took place as planned, or almost as planned. When morning came, the Egyptians found, to their consternation, that 49 of the 50 princes had been stabbed to death in their nuptial chambers. But the 50 daughters and the eldest prince, Lynceus by name, were nowhere to be found. The shock and grief was sufficient to kill Aegyptus, and the Egyptians beat a hasty retreat. The 50 maidens came back to the city of Argos to a hero's welcome. As the Argive king was killed in battle, Danaus became king of Argolis. When he found the body of Lynceus missing, he asked his eldest daughter, Hypermnestra, about the prince's whereabout. Hypermnestra told the truth. Lynceus was an honest young man. Unlike his brothers, he did not wish to consummate the marriage with Hypermnestra before actually won her heart. Moved by his noble love, Hypermnestra disclosed to him the insidious plan of her father and urged him to seek asylum in a sanctuary. At this, Danaus flew into a rage. He was about to condemn her to death when Aphrodite, the goddess of love, intervened on the maiden's behalf. In due course, Hypermnestra was married to Lynceus. When Danaus died without a male heir, Lynceus succeeded to the throne, and the descendants of their marriage became rulers of Argos, including the great hero Perseus. The fate of the 49 sisters of Hypermnestra could only be defined as miserable. Since they could not avoid marriage forever, Danaus arranged a foot race for all their suitors, and the first across the line took his first choice of woman. The second chose second, and so on, until all 49 were accounted for. Nor could the Danaids avoid punishment for their terrible crime. In Hades, they were condemned eternally to carry water in a vessel, which, being leaky, would never fill.